May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the Gospel of Matthew, reading part of chapter 17. Sorry, my friends, I've turned to the wrong chapter. That was the other chapter, what was on my mind. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And we'll read to the end of verse 29. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, and James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only, with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you, that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word. And they that have ears to hear, let them hear. Let us pray. Most holy and most gracious God, oh, do draw us now, Lord, to thy feet. And humbly fall before thee. For thou art worthy to be praised. And thou alone. For thou art the sinner's hope. And Lord, without that wondrous work through Jesus Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. Without hope, without expectation, only expecting in due time a solemn judgment. For Lord, we are sinners. guilty sinners before thee, vile sinners in thy sight. And Lord, we are not worthy to be called thy son. And yet, Lord, we come this night, gathered together, oh, because of that sacred truth that is in Jesus. The power through his shed blood to cleanse from every sin. To be born of the Spirit. To be born of God. Oh, that wondrous love, that we may be called the sons of God. Lord, when thy Spirit teaches that wondrous truth, we are lost in wonder, love and praise. And may each of us know it. May each of us know, Lord, some token for the good of our soul at this night. Oh, do not leave us untouched. Do not send us away in doubts and fears. Lord, ours is an urgent, pressing case. Do not turn away thy face. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come and gather ourselves together in this way around thy holy word. Lord, do not let it be without power and application. Lord, do apply it by thy Spirit, that we may have revelation of the precious truths. Revelation, Lord, in our own heart, of that wondrous mercy in Jesus Christ to save a poor sinner from all their sins. And Lord, thou knowest how we have come this night. Thou knowest each heart before thee now. Thou knowest the broken heart. Lord, we pray thou wilt heal it as it is poured out before thee in all those humble petitions. Lord, thou knowest the hard heart, hardened perhaps by the things of today, hardened, Lord, through one's own earthly nature. Lord, we pray thou wilt break that heart. And Lord, when it is broken, then heal it. Oh, may there be many sinners saved by grace in this evil day. May it be so here, Lord, in this place, where there's the gatherings together in thy name. O Lord, do be mindful of each one here, from the youngest to the eldest. And let none of them be a stranger to the power of that redeeming blood of thine. Cleanse, Lord, from all sin. O, do be born, Lord, in each soul. Let each soul be born again. And Lord, that praise brought forth from the heart, that desire, Lord, to love thee and to serve thee and to honour thee in all which one says and all that one does, to live unto thee whilst in this upon this earth, and one day, Lord, oh, to pass away, to be with thee, which is far better. Lord, such an hour is before us each, when we shall know time no more. And Lord, we do not know the length of our days, but thou knowest. Oh, do not let us perish in our sin. Lord, do not let us die without that hope through Jesus Christ. Lord, we are sinners all our days. Sin is mixed with all we do, and we cannot claim to be anything else. But may we know what it is to be a sinner saved by grace. To know that where sin abounds within us each, thy grace does much more abound. Lord, that's the blessing which we desire to have. Lord, that's the blessing we desire thee to impart. For that's the blessing, Lord, that only thou canst give. We've sung of it just in our opening hymn. Lord, bring us there to that footstool of thy mercy, O, to the cross of Christ. Bring us there by faith. There, Lord, to pour out our heart, confess our sin. For thou hast said, Lord, that if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, do draw us believingly by faith to thy feet and hear those humble petitions. Do bless, Lord, the preached word that is proclaimed in this place. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon the preached word on the Lord's day. May it not have returned to thee void, but may it have accomplished, Lord, that which thou didst please and prospered it in the thing to which thou didst send. Oh, may there have been many a heart, Lord, that proclaimed it was good to be here. And Lord, may it be so tonight and at other times in the times that are yet to come. Lord, may this be a place of the feeding of each longing soul. Lord, may this be the place of feeding of each hungry soul, who longs to know thee and to know thee more and more. For thou hast said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. O Lord, help us to take hold of these promises by faith and plead them before thee. Lord, remember us in the daily walk of life, in the things that concern us and surround us day by day, our duties, responsibilities, the business, the work. Oh Lord, we have to labour for the bread and the food with the needs we have of our own selves each day. But Lord, let us never forget the source of those things that we possess, the source of that which we gain. It's the gift of God. And thou doth give us all, Lord, that is needful for the good of our bodies. And so we thank thee, Lord, for many mercies which daily we receive. We're not worthy of the least of them, but thou art faithful that hath promised. But Lord, there are times of difficulties, there's times of troubles, anxieties, cares. Lord, there are times when we hardly know what to say or what to do. Oh, the enemy comes in as it were like a flood, and all things seem to be against us. And there's the trials of our faith. And Lord, we fear, not only personally, but collectively, what the future holds in our own nation which has been so blessed of thee for so many centuries. But Lord, we look to thee again, for all things are in thy hand, all things are under thy control, our times are in thy hand. And Lord, we would look again unto thee from whence cometh all our help. Help us, Lord, to trust in thee at all times. Thee, Lord, to be our refuge in distress and in troubles. Thy word says, Lord, that they, that trust in thee, thou shalt be a shield about them. Lord, be a shield round about us. Deliver us from all evil. Lord, thy word teaches of a shield. Yea, even a wall of fire round about thy people. Lord, there's no greater defence than a wall of fire. Oh, Lord, be like that round about thy people, round about thy church upon this earth. And Lord, may we know what it is to be surrounded with the walls of salvation. Oh Lord, do come and keep us close to thyself. And in our daily walk, our daily lives, our daily pathway, may we know what it is to walk with Jesus. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Lord, help us in all things to look unto Jesus. Lord, this day is another step in our pilgrimage journey. It's a step, Lord, we fear to take without thee. Lord, hear the prayers that were put up to thee this morning, that as one awoke, desiring thy presence, desiring thee, Lord, to go before in the way, and as we come towards the close of this day, Lord, be with us now. Be with us to the end of it. And with thanksgiving, Lord, return truly grateful hearts up unto thee for all thy help and thy mercy that hath brought us safely through. So, Lord, we would continue in prayer. But now, Lord, we need thy help as we turn to thy word. Do open it up to our hearts. Help us to receive it. And may the words of these lips and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Remember any, Lord, who could not be here tonight, who would be here if they could. We commend them to thee. Lord, if any are sick, may they know thy healing touch. May they know thy presence. Younger ones, Lord, perhaps, with the studying to do, do help them in it and guide them in it. And Lord, do guide them in the way that is before them. Lead them forth by the right way. And those, Lord, that have duties and responsibilities at home and maybe business, for 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. Lord, help them to do that which is expected of them. And Lord, do grant within them that praying spirit to commit all their works unto thee. That their thoughts be established. So, Lord, be in all things, at all times, in all places, to each and every one of us. We now, Lord, commend ourselves to thee. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
in complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may speak to each of us through his holy, sacred word. I'd ask your prayerful attention to the chapter we read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and particular verse 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The 24th verse of the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Dear friends, is this the case with each one of us here tonight? Each one of us possesses unbelief. It's in us by nature. It's the source of our sin. It's the root of our iniquity. It's in us through the Adam fall. For is not unbelief original sin? When Eve, through the temptation, considered the matter in her own mind, and through the lust of the flesh, then considered that fruit which was forbidden was good to eat, and believing with will Satan that she would not die, because she has wanted to take of that fruit. She believed a lie, and there was unbelief within her concerning the word of God, that if thou shalt eat of that fruit in the midst of the garden, thou shalt surely die. And she gave to her husband Adam. And dear friends, that precious soul within them, breathed in of God, it died. Lost all the goodness and all the blessedness that gave them union with their Maker. And they could not stay in that place. Banished. And so death came upon all men, for all men have sinned. You see, Seth, we read in Genesis, he was born in the image of Adam. Adam's seed was corrupt. All concerning Adam was corrupt. And of Eve. And so all that have been born of Adam's race, such as you and me, here tonight, we are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. Born dead, not physically dead. Born dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. Even before we have the faculties to speak or to do, dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, dear friends, we look upon a little babe. Yes, it may be innocent in all its doings, because it hasn't done anything but cry. But within it, there is sin, born in it, through the nature of the Adam fall. You know, dear friends, the sum, who say that the Lord, that a child, should I say, does not possess a soul till it takes its first breath. I find I cannot agree with that. It is mentioned concerning Adam, that Adam was made of the dust of the earth into a being, before God breathed into him a living soul. But dear friends, Adam wasn't born. He wasn't born of another creature. He was made of God. He was the first. And all other creatures from Adam, dear friends, they've been born of Adam. And some say, well, in Ezekiel, we read of the dry bones and the coming together into a physical being before the breath is breathed upon them. Dear friends, that again was breathing a living soul. Is that not the type of the new birth there in Ezekiel? The preaching of the word and the coming together into a form of godliness, and then the power of the Spirit breathed upon them to be born again. Oh, dead Israel, yet to be brought to life through the mercy and the blessing of the power of the word of God. Dear friends, it doesn't apply to our physical birth. We are born dead in trespasses and in sins. Can God breathe a sin-sick soul? No. God gives life to the soul in the new birth. We are born dead in trespasses and in sins. And the child gives witness of that, doesn't it? As it soon begins to grow, and you've soon seen the evidences of evilness and sin and self and all those things within it. When the faculties begin to develop, you don't have to teach a child to lie and to bite and to be spiteful and so forth. And dear friends, we cannot deliver ourselves, can we, from such a state as that? Oh, what solemn creatures we are. Plagued by unbelief. Cannot bring ourselves to the knowledge of the truth savingly as it is in Jesus. Dear friends, how have we come up to the house of God tonight? Do you say, well, I've come believing. I've been brought up to learn the truth from the Holy Scriptures that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe he is the Saviour of sinners. I believe he has gone to heaven, and there's a heaven, and there's only salvation through his precious shed blood. And you've come up to the house of God to do that which is right and expected of you. But dear friends, are you completely clean of unbelief? You know, these disciples of Jesus, they were with Jesus. They had the parables expounded to them, the meaning of them. They saw the miracles Jesus did. Why, we've read of Peter, James and John. who saw that wonderful transfiguration of Christ, where his face shone exceeding as the sun, and his raiment white as snow. And they speaking with him was Moses and Elijah, speaking concerning the death he should die in Jerusalem, to bring forth that glorious righteousness, typical of that which was there seen of him, for the salvation of sinners. And it was good for them to be there. But when Christ spoke of his sufferings and the rising again from the dead, they could not understand why they could not believe. Oh, they said, well, Peter said, this be far from thee, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest the things that be of men, and not of God. Dear friends, how much of our coming tonight to the house of God is of ourselves and not of God and of faith in God. You say, oh well, I believe I've come rightly. Have you? My mind goes to those women who followed Jesus from Galilee. There they ministered unto him. There they'd been drawn to him. They had knowledge of him. Why? Mary Magdalene had had 7 devils cast out of her. And there was Susanna, the wife of Husha, the Herod's steward. And yes, there was Mary's own, there was Mary, Jesus' own mother, and a number of women. They followed him to Jerusalem. They saw him crucified. They saw where he was buried. And then they went home to prepare those spices. And they awaited the Sabbath day to pass, as was expected of them, which was right for them to do so. And then they, in love for their master, who had been crucified, they brought those spices very early in the morning on the first day of the week. Doing, as we would say, there's nothing wrong in that. That was expression of their love and their sorrow and their mourning. But dear friends, they came in unbelief. They came in sin, expecting to find Christ still in that tomb. Yes, they said, who shall roll us away the stone? But they still kept on, perhaps hoping against hope somehow that stone would be rolled away. But they still expected to see the body of Jesus in the tomb. And when they got there, those angels said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember the word that he spoke unto thee in Galilee. They came in unbelief. The scripture solemnly says that which is not of faith is sin. How much of our coming together tonight has been a faith? Dear friends, if it's not a faith, it's unbelief. Oh, how solemn we are when we come. Remember the word that the Lord hath said, the Lord hath spoken. What has the Lord spoken? Where even 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Friends, did you come tonight expecting to see Jesus? Or did you expect just to hear a man speak some words? Dear friends, the words of man will not do you any good. They may entertain the mind. You may have a satisfaction of coming to the house of God in a legal sense. But dear friends, if we're to get profit to our souls in the house of God, we're to come by faith, believing Jesus is here. He has promised to remember that word. Dear friends, He is here tonight. Gathered together rightly in His name. And He sees and knows us through and through. And He hears the cries. Oh, is this the cry of one of you who've come up, I trust, more than one tonight? Lord, I believe Thou art here, in all Thy risen power. Help Thou mine unbelief. Dear friends, if we just come in a formal earthly sense, expecting only to hear some words from the man who is appointed to be the minister, then we shall go away perhaps like those on the Emmaus Road, with much reasoning, perhaps with sadness of heart. Go away unchanged, untouched. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Dear friends, the house of God is an appointed sacred place. Is it not the place which He hath appointed to bless out of Zion? Oh, and to come here, dear friends, in unbelief, not expecting to receive any blessing or token from the Lord, is a most solemn state of heart to come. It's to come formally, coldly, legally. Dear friends, we shall get no prosperity. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. I believe, Lord, help Thou mine unbelief. Oh, there's so much as to hinder us when we come to the house of God. When we come to read His precious word. Dear friends, this is the word of God. There's nothing more pure tonight in our worship than the reading of the word of God. It's just not a precursor to the preaching. Dear friends, it's a fundamental part of our worship. Lord, speak to me through Thy word. Do you believe there's blessing in the holy word of God? Then, oh, how we need to take heed to it. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. Oh, take all those things away which crowd in and hinder. They feed your unbelief, don't they? To hide Jesus from your sight. Oh, how we need that Spirit of the Lord to come, to rule our hearts. And give us faith. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let Thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our eyes. From our minds. And open all our eyes. That was a good petition of those Greeks, wasn't it? Sir, we would see Jesus. My dear friends, He's promised to be where even two or three are gathered together in his name. Oh, what a difference it made to those on the Emmaus Road when Jesus himself spoke to them. And thus we pray, doesn't it, the Lord will speak to us through his word, will apply his word in power. That made the difference to the Gentile church of whom Paul spoke. For our gospel was not in word only. It was in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. That's when the Lord speaks then. For he said to those Thessalonians, for ye received the word not as the word of man, but as the word of God. Now what was the word of God? Spoken, yes, through the lips of man. But it is, there is no other way for salvation, of salvation. No other way of deliverance from the power of sin that binds you and rules your heart by nature. There's no other way you can be delivered from all your unbelief, except through faith in that precious shed blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross. The sacrifice for sin, the Son of God, the holy, the pure, the undefiled, and yet made little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, that he may gain the victory by going through and into the place where all the sinners would come. All those whom the Father had given unto him, he passed through death, that he may gain that eternal life through the fulfilling of the law, the satisfying of divine justice. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Christ's soul, he says, was poured out unto death. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he may destroy the power of death. Oh, his righteousness, dear friends, it removed and overcame all evil. His grace abounded over all sin. It was the perfect work, a complete work, that Satan can no longer accuse or bind the soul for whom Christ died anymore. He's set free, he's been redeemed, the price has been paid. And so the earth shook, the stone was rolled away, Christ arose, triumphant over death, the works of Satan all destroyed. And because I live, he says to his people, ye shall live also. To whom are these, to whom he speaks? They're needy sinners. Needy sinners, pleading for mercy. Needy sinners who tremble at the word of God. Needy sinners who know they are only worthy of eternal damnation. Needy sinners who fear to die lest they be condemned. Needy sinners that with singleness of eye and of heart, object of their first desire is Jesus, crucified for me. If there's one of you come up like that tonight, then may the Lord hear your cry in the presence of the Lord, in the courts of his house. For dear friends, such sinners are gathered together in his name. There's no other name in heaven or on earth whereby ye can be saved. And it's sinners who will gather themselves together in that name. that name of Jesus. And do you cry, Lord, I believe, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I spoke to the young people on Saturday afternoon concerning that wild man, Billy Bray, in Cornwall, who came to build that little chapel where so many of us have met together in the summertime and still do, and the ministers preach there. Dear friends, he was so vile. Others said his oaths he made, the blasphemy came from hell. But he came to a time in his life when he feared to die. There came a time in his life when he was constrained to cry for mercy. It wasn't the work of his own self. It was the beginning of the work of God. The vilest sinners, one might say, out of hell, he was brought to feel his need. There came the time when he began to cry for mercy. At first he wouldn't even kneel down, but then he was constrained to kneel. And he went on day after day. He came to the time when he wouldn't speak to those down in the mine where he worked. He had to keep crying for mercy. It was the only thing in him. He couldn't eat his food. Whenever he got home, he was on his knees upstairs. He began to not sleep and still cry for mercy all the way through the night. And the devil got at him, "Thou shalt never obtain mercy." There came that time after some days when he came back from the pit. A little hope had been given to him. He'd called Satan a liar. Satan had said, "Thou shalt never find mercy. Thou art a liar, Satan." And as he came home, he went upstairs, fell at his feet, shut the door in the closet, that secret place. And these words came to him. The words of the Lord Jesus: "They that seek shall find. To they that knock it shall be opened. To those that ask they shall receive." And he said, "I have faith, Lord, to believe it." And oh, he said, the burden that was lifted from him, the joy that he received. All he could do was stand up and cry out, "The Lord hath saved me from my sins. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Oh Lord, dear friends, what hindrances we have, don't we, in of ourselves to humble ourselves as we should at the feet of Jesus. The object of our first desire, the pleading for the mercy of our soul. Oh, may the Lord take away the hindrance from each one of you. And as you come to the house of God, yes, in your own home or wherever it may be, cause you to cry for mercy, and giving you the faith to believe that mercy does prevail in Jesus Christ, who is the same today, the same yesterday, and forever. Oh, you say, "But this text concerns a matter of providence, concerns a matter of a man with his son." Yes, dear friends, it does. And to a child of God, can you separate providence from grace? No. They're intermingled, aren't they? Things of this life in providence, dear friends, they become a trial of one's faith. They become an exercise of the soul. They cause one to plead with the Lord for mercy. And how we're hindered there, aren't we? By unbelief. Oh, this man, this poor man, came to bring his child to Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. His disciples were. And he asked the disciples to cast out the devil, and they couldn't. They asked Jesus afterwards, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast him out? Matthew records this in that chapter which I initially mentioned before we started to read. He says, because of your unbelief. Dear friends, these disciples, they were living in unbelief at this time, weren't they? Concerning the death, the resurrection, the glorious power in Christ to forgive sins and make that way to glory. Dear friends, they were plagued with unbelief. And they had no power to overcome the power of evil and of Satan. The Lord also said to them, as we recorded in Mark, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. That's not the prayer and fasting of the Pharisees. They prayed and they fasted. Dear friends, this prayer and fasting of Christ is his own example. Complete communion with the Father and separation from all the things which are of the glory and need of the flesh. Oh, what importance did Christ put upon his own humanity whilst he was upon this earth? Nothing. He lived only to the honour and glory of the Father to do his will. That which he spoke was of the Lord, of his Father. And that which he did was to the honour and glory of the Father. In union with the Father. Dear friends, that was the prayer and fasting standard of Christ. Dear friends, we don't come anywhere near that, do we? There's a word, isn't there, in the law. It's in Moses. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. You say, oh, I believe that word, do you? Do you walk it out? Unbelief won't let you with it. Oh, how we depend upon the things of today. How the things of today can bring us into a sleepy condition. Oh, we depend upon so much in the material things of life and even deceived. That through the benefits we receive outwardly, it's the Lord's favour and blessing toward us. Dear friends, that's unbelief. What's the scripture say? The wicked, oh, they have more than heart could wish. Laodicea was blessed with great things in providence, but they were lost, they were dead. Dear friends, how short we come in believing, don't we? How come far short we come in faith, living unto God. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, how did this man come? He came to Jesus, he could come to no other. He came in unbelief, didn't he? He came in doubts. Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, if we can. Oh, dear friends, do you come like that to the Lord in prayer? If the Lord can do anything. Perhaps you don't say those words. But is unbelief within you that he can do all things? We have the coming, don't we, of the leper. He used the word if, but it was in a different context. If thou wilt, thou canst do anything. Thou canst heal me. If thou wilt, thou canst. There's faith to believe. Dear friends, do you believe that God can do anything? That matter which is impossible with man, too hard for you. Oh, you do not know which way to turn. Everything seems to be against you. Poor Jairus was like that, wasn't he? He brought his matter before Jesus. Oh, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He'd been in much unbelief in Capernaum against Jesus. But he came into a need where no man could help him. He was drawn to Jesus. Lord, come and heal my daughter before she die. I will come and heal her. But the Lord didn't come as quickly as perhaps he would have hoped him to come. And whilst he was coming, the matter got worse. She did die. Why troublest thou the master any further? Why troublest thou the master any further? The child is dead. Lord Jairus had seen the Lord heal in the temple. And this was far beyond his expectation. What did the Lord Jesus turn and say to him? Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Oh, what a statement. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. How can the Lord indeed do this? It's beyond my expectation. It's beyond the imagination of my heart. It's beyond my hope. But dear friends, what does the scripture say? He is able to do exceeding abundant, above what ye ask or think. Oh, the Lord knoweth our frame. What a mercy. What a mercy that his power and goodness does not depend upon our faith. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, that brings us humbly to his feet, doesn't it? That brings us in all the confession of our infirmity, of knowing how or what to pray. Dear friends, we are full of poverty, aren't we? We cannot express it deeply enough. But oh, the goodness of God. In spite of this man's unbelief here, the Lord spoke to the devil. The son was healed. He went and he touched Jairus' daughter. She was raised from the dead. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Dear friends, that matter you've got tonight, spiritual or providential, the matter of your soul in all your sin, oh, that difficulty which is tempting you and trying your faith to the utmost. He is able. That door of his mercy, open all day. To the poor and the needy you knock by the way. Dear friends, at times we may not know how the Lord will answer, do we? I've prayed to the Lord on some occasions. The Lord answered me in ways I did not expect. But dear friends, it's all of his goodness. You think of the Apostle Paul. When he had the messengers of Satan to buffet him. His prayer was that he'd be taken away. Dear friends, the Lord gave him something greater than that. The confirmation that his grace was sufficient. Satan may tempt and annoy you. Oh, but my grace is sufficient. Satan can't take away that which I've done for your soul. Satan cannot touch that which I have given thee. Thou art safe in my hands. Bid Satan flee. O Satan, the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth from all sin. I'm the chief of sinners. Christ is able to save such. And that became the joy, and isn't it the rejoicing of Paul when the Lord gave him that confirmation? As far as we know, he was still tempted by Satan. But dear friends, he had the answer to Satan. That Satan couldn't destroy him. Oh, the precious word of God. the Word of God through Christ Jesus. Dear friends, in him, hold may be all your trust. I believe. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. The very first verse of the chapter we read tonight. Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Oh dear friends, may that be true of us here tonight. That there may be all of us here that shall not taste of death till we have seen the kingdom of God come with power. The kingdom of God through the application and blessing of the word of truth that it is in Jesus. He is the door, the entering in. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Oh, for the gospel as it is preached here, those unsearchable riches of Christ, of him crucified. Put in that tomb, oh, that unbelief of the poor disciples, but raised again, and he appeared unto them in his risen power. And then, oh, the joy in believing. May the Lord appear unto you, dear friends, in the power of his word, revealed by the Holy Spirit, giving you precious view by faith of Jesus. Of the Lamb of God that alone can take away the sin of the world, which is in your heart and mine. Oh, shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power, a witness to the truth as it is in Jesus. And then, dear friends, to walk out as a true witness of that hope within us. Oh, we shall be plagued by unbelief. But dear friends, as a prayer-hearing and answering God, he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are but dust. He has promised never to leave thee, nor forsake thee. He has promised that none shall ever pluck thee out of his hands. Ah, he said, and my Father are one. And the prayer of Jesus was to those that believed in him, through the preached word, that they be one, as he and the Father are one. Oh, what a precious promise. Dear friends, the prayers of Christ, they were the truth. They were not in vain. And they were answered through his own work on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of many, that those sinners that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, dear friends, may this be the token of the good of your soul, that you come here again and again, those believing views of Jesus, those prayers, for him to open your eye of faith. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord abide with you here in the power of the Spirit. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock, and Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. There will also be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening, and God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
do hear the prayer of our closing hymn, and give us faith to believe in all that we sung. Belief, Lord, in thy precious name, the power of thy blood to cleanse our soul from every sin, and that thou, Lord, shalt supply all our need, spiritual and providential, according to the riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Lord, increase our faith, grant thy blessing, be with us as we separate, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.